Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We'll continue the discussion about plastic trash in the ocean just a little further from shore. And you can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Plastic trash in the ocean is our topic this hour. We just finished talking to a couple of the leaders of Washed Ashore, which takes plastic trash that comes up on the beaches, cleans it, and makes sculptures out of it. Now we move offshore by many miles. That is where the organization called Algalita goes, to the places where trash collects in the ocean, for research and cleanup. Captain Charlie Moore is the founder and research director of the organization and our guest on the exchange. Captain, thanks for joining us.
Good morning from Long Beach, California.
Okay, good to know you're on shore for a little while anyway. You had apparently already been sailing long distances for a while when you decided to go into the North Pacific Gyre. What was the attraction?
Well, it wasn't so much an attraction as just a way home from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
We had entered the Transpac not so much to win a race, but to test the new mast. We were dismasted on our delivery voyage from American Samoa. Crossing the equator, we hit some squalls and broke our mast off and couldn't fix it in American Samoa, so we had to be shipped back to Long Beach, and I have a new mast put on, and I didn't want that experience to ever happen again. Quite a dangerous, fell right next to a crew member, and very lucky he didn't get decapitated. So you enter a sailing race to break things. They say you reef your sails, in other words, make them smaller.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cruising, to prevent damage. But in racing, you wait till things start to break and then reef your sails. So,
oh, that's the time to make your changes. Yeah, that's when
when you're really pushing it. Mm-hmm. And so we pushed it our way. We did good. We got third place, and we're not a race boat, but we took everything off. We took the heavy cable off the winches, and you know, the stuff that we use for research, and just tested the rig, and it worked out great. And then, you know, you have to turn around and come back. It's a one-way race. The wind blows you toward Hawaii, but on the way back, you've got to go up north to catch the westerlies and then correct your course for Oregon and the Pacific coast. And that exercise resulted in us going through this area called the doldrums, or I guess the horse latitudes is often used for that term, because when traders brought livestock around the Horn and up the Pacific coast, they got caught in that zone, and it's calm. It's under the Great Pacific High, and they were stuck, and they ended up having to sacrifice their livestock. So that's how it got the moniker horse latitudes.
And they ate their horses.
Yeah, they couldn't feed them and couldn't water them, and had to sacrifice them. So
this area is
an oceanic desert.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we call depauperate. It has very little sea life, and it is very calm. And that's in 1997, when I first became alarmed by the amount of plastic in the ocean. That was the largest El Nino on record. You know, we had the blob off your coast this year.
Mm-hmm.
And an El Nino phenomenon, but the 97 one was the peak of what we call the Pacific Decadal Oscillation, the warm phase. We're in the cold phase right now, and we don't get these big, long-lasting El Ninos like we did in 97. In 97, it was like 1,000 mile wide, this high pressure zone. So all the trash that is mixed into the ocean was able to float up to the surface. And so I couldn't come on deck. I mean, it wasn't one piece right after another, but maybe waiting 5 minutes, I'd see something else. And it wasn't anything big. I didn't make any entries in the logbook. It was a bottle cap here or a shard of plastic there. But it bothered me, because here I was, as far from human civilization as you can get anywhere on Earth, and the evidence of our profligate waste was in front of me every time I cared to look. And so, having been involved in scientific research and realizing there are ways to monitor and assess this type of pollution, I consulted with other scientists that I work with, and we developed a plan and came back 2 years later and actually drug nets through this stuff. And then In 1999, that was, we found that, to our surprise and shock, and what really kind of blew the lid off this whole issue was that the amount of plastic that we pulled up in our nets outweighed the amount of zooplankton, which is the base of the marine food web, by 6 to 1. There was 6 times as much plastic as zooplankton by weight. So this was a shocker since, as I say, it's as far as the way you, as far away from the actual sources on land as you can get.
Wow. Captain Charlie Moore is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and research director of Algalita, which is dedicated to researching and getting plastic trash out of the ocean. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or email jx@jeffnet.org. This description, I know one of the pictures that was attributed to the North Pacific garbage patch turned out to be a picture from a bay in the Philippines, but so is this idea of a floating landfill ever quite true out there?
It's becoming truer and truer. We're fixing to publish our monitoring survey results after 15 years of going back out there and measuring over the years, pre-Japanese tsunami, post-Japanese tsunami, pre-Chinese export economy, post Chinese consumer economy, which are the two factors that we attribute the rapid increase to. Mm-hmm. And it's gone from 330,000 pieces per square kilometer, and we sample the exact same stations every time we go mm-hmm. out there. So this is a monitoring project. It's very unusual to have actual monitoring of deep ocean habitats mm-hmm. and go back to the exact same places and do the same thing over and over again. Now, our data indicates that from 330,000 pieces per square kilometer, we're looking at 18 million pieces per square kilometer. That's
Whoa.
A 60-fold increase in 15 years.
So 330,000 pieces of plastic to 18 million
right.
in a square kilometer. That's a lot of plastic, no question.
Yeah, so when we say it's a sea fill and it's an island, you know, I have found an island. I did a walk and talk for the Weather Channel on it. It was about the size of my boat, and it was the result of the Japanese tsunami. It was 70 of their oyster farming buoys that had tangled up with a bunch of rope and made a kind of an island I could walk on. So there is such a thing as small plastic islands out there that you can walk on, but that's not doesn't characterize the whole area. What characterizes the whole area is this dispersed plastic cauldron of debris that is becoming more and more compact, so that when we see rivers, say, for instance, or you say this bay in the Philippines or wherever, where, you know, it becomes difficult to see the water through the trash, that's not the way it is out there yet. But if we keep on the path we're on, it will be that way.
We were talking in the previous segment with the folks from Washed Ashore in Bandon, Oregon. Angela Hasseltine-Potsey was she made an interesting point about the smaller chunks of plastic that on shore, it's almost like they're becoming the sand over time. And I wonder just what did you, I mean, are you finding a lot of small fragments out in the ocean as well as the big stuff? Charlie, where'd you go? Captain Charlie Moore. All right. Not sure what happened there. Captain Charlie Moore is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founder and research director of Algalita. I'm going to have to let him off the phone so we can get him called back. So that's an odd turn of events there. Algalita is involved with research in the ocean, as you heard. And the research has borne some interesting results, as you just heard as well, from the original measurement of 330,000 pieces of plastic per square kilometer to 18 million pieces of plastic per square kilometer on the more recent measurements. So, wow, a lot of plastic out in the ocean. You probably heard us talking a little earlier to Angela Hasseltine-Potsey and Frank Rocco from Washed Ashore, which is also interested in plastic in the ocean, but on the other end of the process, not in the middle of the ocean, far from people, but at the edge of the ocean where the people collect, and so does the trash. And so she's making large sculptures of sea creatures that are among the creatures that face challenges from having all that plastic in the ocean. It's been discussed a couple different ways. It's not just that the plastic stays in large-scale structures like the original bottles or containers in which it was formed, but also that it gets ground up by the action of the ocean into small, small pieces so that we end up with stuff floating in the water that looks like food and is eaten by the creatures in the ocean and is not nutritious for them and therefore is of no particular nutritious use to them. So all kinds of things happening in the ocean. A couple minutes left. We're getting Charlie Moore back on the phone now. We'd like to hear from you as well. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Let's get Wolfgang in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning again, Jeff. You are a fantastic host, by the way. Oh. I mean, I just have to say that. You're doing so great.
You're very kind.
What hasn't been mentioned is what we can do or what the society can do. And I'm looking at stores where the amount of cheap garbage, stuff that you use once or twice, and then it goes out in the trash. So it's the source is society's want to, or like almost addiction to cheap stuff. I'm not going to malign China. It's corporate interests that want to sell cheap stuff because it sells so well, and we're addicted to it. And that ends up in the trash. And it also, the second part is, this is not an American problem alone. I was in North Africa, and I saw funny-looking trees. And those were cacti, huge cacti full of garbage bags, black garbage bags that blow out in the wind. Other countries, garbage gets tossed in the ocean. A friend of mine did a movie in India where a whole street is lined with garbage, plastic, cheap trash. So that's, I think, what we need to address responsibly.
Oops, I'm sorry, I knocked Wolfgang off the air by putting Captain Charlie Moore back online.
I was able to hear Wolfgang, and he makes some very good points. And I think that's the crux of the problem, is the quantity of plastic that we carelessly consume and carelessly discard and thoughtlessly use. And it's a dangerous product. Plastic, you know, the UN has said that it should have warning labels on it like cigarettes. We have to be much more careful with plastic. We've entered the plastic age behind a plastic curtain of ignorance about the product, and the product has serious downsides. You mentioned the fact that it breaks into small pieces and gets consumed, but you didn't mention the fact that those small pieces are sponges for pollutants, both from inside the plastic and things that they accumulate from the environment. So it's a vector for polluting the entire food web and us. There are more and more evidence that compounds in plastics are affecting children. These new diseases that are springing up are related to many of the compounds in plastic. So we have to be much more careful with our use of plastic and much more careful with our disposal of plastics.
Charlie, where does the name Agalita come from?
We began our work reforesting the kelp forests in Baja California and Southern California, and working with Mexican scientists, and kelp in Spanish is alga, so Agalita was a play on the Spanish term for kelp.
Ah, almost like algae, sure. So I might have misstated when I said that you're getting the trash out of the ocean. Do you do any cleanup or just measurement at this point?
We can bring back about a half a ton on the boat, mostly things that interest us. For instance, if we need something out there, we can find it. We repaired our nets with tubing we found out there. We stacked the debris on a pallet, a plastic pallet we found floating out there. We do our shopping in the garbage patch. So we pick up stuff of interest to us, things that seem unique, but we can only bring back about a half a ton. It would be possible to harvest many tons by knowing where to go and looking for these lines of debris. We call them windrows.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just a couple seconds left here. I understand you have a big trip heading south next month.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to be doing what's known as the South Pacific Garbage Patch, the mirror image of the one in the North Pacific. southeast of Easter Island. So we've got legs through the Galapagos and there, and then along the coast of Chile. So
We're
taking the struggle to our southern hemisphere.
All right, fascinating stuff. Good to talk to you. Captain Charlie Moore is the founder and research director at Algalita, which is taking a look at trash in the ocean. Thanks for joining us.
Quite pleased to be with you.